January 15th, meeting of the House Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules to Order. And members, we have quite a few things to do, including bills that people have been waiting for on this committee, so hopefully this will be a productive and speedy day. We have one item of business to begin with, and I'm looking for a motion. Representative Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move...
Let me open a work session for the purpose of requesting a draft from Legislative Council. And Representative Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move that we request the Speaker approve drafting the legislative concept for introduction related to numbering of state measures.
And Representative Buckley has moved that we request that the Speaker approve drafting of a legislative concept for introduction relating to the introduction of state measures. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Berger.
Could you please explain the purpose of this introduction and what the draft does?
I think we'll have more discussion about it later, but briefly, it clarifies an ambiguity in state law, which right now does not clarify the order in which measures appear on the ballot.
Representative? Can I actually further answer Representative Berger's question? Thank you, Madam Chair. This actually came up as I was talking to the Secretary of State about what number the double majority election reform ballot measure is going to have, the bill that we passed out last session. And unlike every previous ballot where you've had all the legislative referrals consecutively first on the ballot and then all the signature initiatives consecutive after that, for the first time, apparently, in the history of the state, according to the Elections Division, there have been some initiatives that have been introduced in between some of the legislative referrals. And so they've never dealt with that issue before. Obviously, the initiative process has moved up significantly earlier in the process. And so this measure would basically say the way we've always done it before would be the way that it continues to be done. All the legislative referrals consecutively first, all the initiative petitions to follow. We had actually had this drafted as an amendment to House Bill 3602, because that was the only bill around that that had the right relating clause. At the request of the Republican leader, who raised concern about merging those two together, seemed like it might be wise to have a separate bill so we can have a separate discussion and debate on the two issues.
Yes, Representative Berger.
We are very late in a supplemental session that is sort of precedent setting. If this was an issue, it was an issue a long time ago, and I am very uncomfortable with raising this at this point, bringing in a new draft at this point. This is not new news that there's a problem here with the ordering. The Secretary of State has managed to handle this without statutory issues all of these many 149 years or whatever. I'm very uncomfortable with this thing, this kind of a draft coming in. It is controversial on a number of levels, and your case has not been made for me, and I'm afraid I'm not going to look favorably on introducing a draft at this point in this session.
Well, yes, Representative Pence.
One thing I should have said in terms of the timing, that this actually has come up just very recently. I think the Secretary of State's office, they never dealt with this before, with initiatives coming in prior. The Chair and I just met with the Secretary of State on Monday afternoon of this week and discovered that it was a problem, so immediately had the amendment drafted.
And I'm not trying to cut anybody off, but I do want to just point out to the members that all we are on right now is a motion to request the Speaker approve drafting of a legislative concept. If that approval is granted, we will have ample opportunity to discuss the merits of this concept. Is there further discussion? Okay, seeing no further discussion, we are on a motion, and the motion is that we request the Speaker to approve drafting of an LC for introduction relating to the numbering of state measures. Will the clerk please call the roll?
No.
Did she say Hunt?
She did.
Aye.
You'll have to be a little louder because we can't hear you over here.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
No.
Vice Chair Berger?
No.
Vice Chair Buckley?
Aye.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries. And it is so ordered.
Madam Chair, since we're still in a work session, would... No, not that figured.
Actually, I think I will close the work session that we were just in. And we are no longer in
Thank
a work
you.
Session. I don't know
Thank
what you were wanting to do.
Right, it's going to be a We tell you, Marty's got it scheduled in.
Okay. So, I think, let's see, looks like we probably have people here to testify on some of the bills that we've got. So, I'll just take them in the order that they are on the agenda, and I will open a public hearing on House Bill 3602. And Marjorie, could you please tell us about House Bill 3602?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3602 modifies the deadline for the Secretary of State to file information with the clerks regarding offices, candidates, and measures for the general election. You have the Dash 1 amendment in your packet, which basically requires all information to be submitted to the clerks at the current deadline of the 61st day, except for the President and Vice President, which would be filed by the 55th day.
Okay, so that is what the bill does. It looks like we have a couple of people signed up to testify on this, and I see that the very busy Representative Bruce Bennett is in the audience, so please join us. Thank you for being here, and welcome to the Elections, Ethics, and Rules Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, good morning. I appreciate you all giving me a moment here this morning. As you know, through discussions we have had, I'm going to discuss House Bill 3602. For the record, my name is Bruce Hanna, State Representative, House District 7. Colleagues, House Bill 3602 has been and continues to be what should be a very simple concept. The House Republican office brought this issue to light in early November, after being notified by the RNC of the problem we had. The concept was vetted and language agreed upon in coordination with my office, the majority office, and the Secretary of State's office. This committee ultimately made this concept, the very simple original concept relating to the presidential election only, your priority bill. I, and I'm sure Republicans across the state, are extremely grateful for that. Now, there is no reason that House Bill 3602 should still be in this process. I urge you to work the bill today and move the committee's priority bill through. You've had additional conversations that discuss amendment language. A more appropriate course of action would have been to address the issue of ordering referrals and initiatives in a separate piece of legislation. This process would have allowed debate of the merits of the policy on its own without getting in the way of a technical fix that was agreed upon, again, by my office, the majority office, and the Secretary of State's office. In my opinion, that fix that you are discussing should have been moved through this process again much earlier. To the merits of a proposed concept, the Secretary of State is the chief elections officer in Oregon. Why does his office need to have this language in statute? What is wrong with following the historical trends? Why change statute to prioritize legislative work over initiative placed on the ballot by the people? I don't claim to have the answers to all these questions, nor am I claiming that reasonable answers can't be presented. I have raised these questions merely to point out that the concept outlined in the Dash 2 amendment should have been considered on its own merit and not tossed into a discussion about an otherwise non-controversial piece of legislation that was this committee's priority bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And thank you for your comments. I'm sure you're aware that we are not considering a Dash 2 amendment to this bill, so I will certainly take your comments and put them in relation to the issue that you were responding to. Did you have any other comments on House Bill 3602?
No, thank you.
Members, did you have any questions? Okay, thank you very much for being here, Representative Hanna. And next, it looks like we have Jan Coleman. Good morning, and we are in a public hearing on House Bill 3602.
Yes, good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. Very briefly, thank you to Representative Hunt for having Amendment Number 1 drafted. I'm here. I'm Jan Coleman. I'm the Amhill County Clerk, and I'm here representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks today. And we are fully in support of Amendment Number 1. We recognize the need to move the date to the 55th day for the recognizing adding the presidential race to the ballot, but we're hoping to get the rest of the things certified to us earlier so that we can begin composing a ballot. We have to have absentee ballots in 45 days, so the 55 days makes it very tight, but if we can get the rest of the certification earlier, it just makes our job a little easier, and hopefully we catch any mistakes that we might make. So
great, thanks very much for your comments. Mm-hmm. And questions for this witness? Yes, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for coming, and thank you for the clerks to alerting us to the little fix that needed to go. Was it you that sent us an email, a month or so ago on this little? Well, we appreciate that you've been, that this amendment has come forward, and it does fix whatever issues that you expressed.
It's great. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thanks very much for being here. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify on House Bill 3602? Seeing no one, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3602. And members, just give me a moment to get organized here. So, members, we have two more bills to take up, but we do have, and I'll remind the members that we just the other day approved a couple of drafting requests, and now they are back in front of us. In fact, we now have three items, and I think that our capable staff is in the process of handing them out to you. So these would be Mercury LC's 118, 121, and 119. So should have copies of 118, 119, and 121. And I will open a work session for the purpose of introducing committee measures. And recognize Vice Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move that we introduce LC 118 as a committee measure.
Vice Chair Buckley has moved that we introduce LC 118 as a committee measure. And I'll just remind you that LC 118 deals with some technical changes to Oregon's fair housing law, and we will, I assume, get this bill back referred to us, and then we'll be able to have testimony on it. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion?
Madam Chair, can I ask one question? Am I correct? This is a resolving an issue that has popped up since the end of January.
Yes, absolutely. This was a very late-breaking issue. So, any objections to the motion? Seeing, hearing none, motion carries.
Madam Chair.
And Vice Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move that we introduce LC 119 as a committee measure.
Vice Chair Buckley has moved that we introduce LC 119 as a committee measure. Is there any discussion? Just to remind the members, which I'm sure they're aware of, that this is in memory of Skip Knight, and I know that two members on this committee know this person, so anyhow. Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, it is so ordered. And Vice Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move that we introduce LC 121 as a committee measure.
And Vice Chair Buckley has moved that we introduce LC 121 as a committee measure. Is there any discussion? Yes, Vice Chair Berger.
I think that we've already had sufficient discussion. I will oppose the introduction.
Okay, then is there any further discussion? And I don't think I need to ask if there's any objection. I would like the clerk to please call the roll on this motion.
Representative
Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative
Thatcher?
No.
Vice Chair Berger?
No.
Vice Chair Buckley?
Aye.
And Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Motion carries. And I will close the work session. And I will open a public hearing and work session on House Concurrent Resolution 101. And looks like we have Marjorie to tell us about this. I know that also Representative Thatcher will probably have some comments, and we have one person signed up to testify. So, Marjorie?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 101 declares June 17, 2008, a Salem-Kaiser Volcanoes Baseball Day in recognition of their success and contributions the Salem-Kaiser Volcanoes baseball team.
Thank you. And I see that Jerry Howard is here. Please come forward.
Thank you very much, Chairman Rosenbaum and honorable members of the committee here. My name for the record is Jerry Howard. I'm an employee of the Salem-Kaiser Volcanoes. What a great privilege it is to be here speaking with you today. Whoever thought this little country kid born and raised in Cottage Grove would ever get to speak in these hallowed halls. So it's a great honor for me. I would like to see this resolution 101 move forward this year, not because of the sole reason that Mr. Walker and Mr. Tucker 11 years ago promised the citizens of this area that they would deliver a great product, a great wholesome family fun entertainment product to this valley, of which they have delivered in every measurable aspect. And not because the Salem Volcanoes contribute nearly $4 million per year to the economic vitality of this region. And not only because the Salem-Kaiser Volcanoes were the cornerstone and the original business entity that has thus brought Kaiser Station to an area that was underdeveloped in Northeast Kaiser and is now becoming extremely economic vitality entity to the whole state of Oregon. And not because the Salem-Kaiser Volcanoes are back-to-back 2006-2007 Northwest League champions and have had over 1.34 million fans sit in Volcano Stadium. And not because the Salem-Kaiser Volcanoes have an impeccable, unblemished reputation in this area, having brought nearly 400 players to this area and never once having an incident related with alcohol, drugs, or assault of a young lady. An unblemished record. And with all of that said, the reason that we feel this needs to be acted on with urgency and not carried over to another session is the fact that the Salem-Kaiser Volcanoes, out of 184 minor league teams across America, were voted 2007 National Minor League Team of the Year. This honor has never, ever been bestowed on a short season Class A level team before in its history. This honor has never, ever been won by another minor league club in any Northwest state. Your Salem-Kaiser Volcanoes have become the best minor league baseball program in all of America, as voted by Minor League Baseball. And for this reason, we think it's timely that this be moved forward for this proclamation to determine that June 17th, our opening day, 2008, be Salem-Keizer Volcanoes Day. The odds of us winning this again at a short season A level, when it's never ever been done before, are incredibly nil. It would be untimely, very untimely, in our opinion, to carry this over to a 2009 session. I thank you for your time. It's a great honor to be here, and I'm open to answer any of your questions.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I can assure you I don't think anybody is looking at carrying this over to the next legislative session, although it sounds like you beat the odds once, so we're going to be rooting for you to do it a second time. Is there any comment or discussion? Yes, Representative Esquivel.
Yes, I'm a San Francisco Giant fan, and I see you're a farm club with the Giants. When are we going to get these kids to where they get to the pros so we can get in those series?
Like the playoffs.
Well, that's great. You know, we have, in 11 years, we have had 43 volcanoes reach the major league level. Several of the San Francisco Giants right now. Most recently, a pitcher in the 2016, two years ago, Tim Lincecum, is pitching for the Giants. Tim pitched here for 4 innings, struck out 11 in 4 innings, and is out of here in a heartbeat.
So much for the single A.
So much for that. It's been a tremendous program here, seriously, and we hope you all are Volcanoes fans. We thank Representative Thatcher for all of her work with the Salem Volcanoes. She is a dear friend of ours and has helped us immensely out there. We hope that all of you get to bring your families out. We say that, you know, we're not just a baseball team. We are a great, fun, family, clean-cut, oriented atmosphere out there for y'all to enjoy yourself and your families to enjoy it. And we hope that we get to see you in 2008.
Great. We're looking forward to it. Yes, Representative Buckley.
Madam Chair, I'm inclined to support this resolution, but I'd be even more inclined if there was some sort of guarantee that Representative Thatcher could throw out the first ball.
You want a winning team.
I can tell you, Representative Buckley, that Ms. Thatcher or any of you are always welcome to throw out a ceremonial first pitch. I'm the one in charge of getting those people. Now you have an inside track. Just a funny note, we had two county commissioners, I'm sure all of you both know well. Commissioner Milne came out to throw out the ceremonial pitch, and she threw a strike right down the middle. And it was about 4 weeks later that Commissioner Brentano came out, and he two-hopped the ball. And he hasn't lived it down, so you have to see. Of course, he's going to tell everyone that that was his sinker pitch.
Got away from him, right.
Great. Any other questions or comments, Representative Thatcher?
Well, I might as well throw in my comment, and I think this resolution is appropriate now, not because I think the volcanoes would explode if we didn't do this, but I think this is a good thing for the state.
Great. Thank you for bringing it to us.
I was just trying to say, we really feel that we represent the whole state of Oregon very much. We get fans from all over Oregon. We get requests for our merchandise from not only Oregon, but from the whole nation. We have people call us from back east and want to know about Oregon, and we straighten out a bit there. It's been a great ride, and I think it's a tremendous attribute to Mr. Jerry Walker and Mr. Bill Tucker to take the monumental gamble to bring the Bellingham Mariners down here and build that beautiful new stadium when baseball had not thrived so well prior to that. That was a huge financial gamble on their part. And with the help of all of you and everyone in the Mid-Willamette Valley and the state of Oregon, we have become a very, very successful entity, and we thank you all very much.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you. How many minor league clubs are there in Oregon? I really have no idea.
There are three. You have the Eugene Emeralds, which is in our league, Class A, and you have the Portland Beavers, which are Triple A. Both of those teams are with the San Diego Padres.
Great. Okay, well, thank you very much for your colorful testimony. We'll look forward to being able to have you with us, hopefully, when we have this on the floor.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and interest, and it's a great privilege being here. Thank you.
You're welcome. And members, we are in a work session, so a motion would be in order. I think this motion would be to send this to the floor with a do-adopt recommendation. And
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Thatcher.
I move House Concurrent Resolution. House Concurrent Resolution 101 to the floor with a do-adopt recommendation. Thank you very much.
Great. Representative Thatcher moved that we send HCR 101 to the floor with a do-adopt recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered. And Representative Thatcher, would you be willing to carry this on the floor?
Happy to.
Great. Thanks. And you'll be practicing your throwing arm at the same time.
Get warmed up.
Okay, so Representative Thatcher will carry this on the floor, and I will close the public hearing and work session on HCR 101. And I will open a public hearing and work session on Senate Joint Resolution 42. And Mercury, could you please tell us about SJR 42?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Joint Resolution 42 designates March 31st of each year as Oregon Civilian Conservation Corps Day.
Okay, great. And we do have, this comes to us from the Senate, obviously, and we do have Dan Snyder here to testify, if you'd please come forward.
Madam Chairman and Committee, I appreciate the honor of being able to present this request for the CCC alumni of Oregon. My name is Daniel Snyder, and I live at 715 Ewald Avenue Southeast in Salem. I am Secretary Treasurer of Chapter 4, National Association of CCC Alumni in the Portland area, but we have statewide membership. The initial CCC in our name stands for Civilian Conservation Corps. Perhaps the principal one of the many programs President Franklin D. Roosevelt asked the 1933 Congress to pass to enable our great nation to begin recovery from the Great Depression, which was in deep progress. The conservation envisioned by those great leaders encompassed not only our forests and parks and rivers and farmland, but the youth, the human resources of America. In a matter of a few months after legislation authorized them, hundreds of Civilian Conservation Corps camps began to spring up across the nation. These were composed of 200 volunteers between ages 17 and 25, unmarried and prohibited from owning a car in order to qualify for membership. They were selected on a basis of need by local social welfare organizations to serve 6 months enrollment periods in companies headed by U.S. Army officers to provide food, shelter, clothing, medical, education, and recreation. However, they were allowed to re-enroll after 6 months for an additional 6 months period for a total of 2 years of eligibility. From 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, the boys were turned over to USDA, Forest Service, or Parks, or the Soil Conservation Service for their work projects. Oregon had 51 camps between 1933 and 1941. We were paid $30 a month, and the enrollee received $5 in cash in camp each month, and a check for $25 was mailed to his parents. I was enrolled just after turning 17 in July 1936 at Camp Zigzag. On the trail crew I served in, we drove up to Timberline Lodge parking area, and it was under construction. We saw the new hewn beams and the supports glistening in the sun morning and evening. Our company's work during those 9 years stands today as a lasting legacy. The campgrounds, millions of replanted trees, miles of mountain roads and trails, including the road to Timberline Lodge itself, the ski bowl, and the first ski lift, were all built by Civilian Conservation Corps Company 928, Camp Zigzag. Our organization, the alumni, recently developed a plan to raise funds for placing signs at the sites of former Civilian Conservation Corps camps, and a number have been purchased and installed at such places as Camp Nehalem near Tillamook, Camp Zigzag, Mackenzie Bridge, Union Creek, Camp Sherman, Reedsport, and many other national forest sites, but most recently at Silver Falls State Park. We cooperated with the Department of Forestry to purchase and install a 6-foot bronze statue of a Civilian Conservation Corps worker at 2600 State Street here in Salem. That statue cost $22,000, and we helped fund that. The signs and bronze plaques at the CCC camp sites cost up to $2,000 for our group to have installed. We have a plaque in tribute to the Civilian Conservation Corps in the Hall of Fame at the World Forestry Center in Portland, which we have also paid for. Oregon Chapter 4 of the National Association of Civilian Conservation Corps Alumni has asked Senator Ted Feroli to sponsor legislation to establish March 31, 2008, and every future year as a date to memorialize the Civilian Conservation Corps for its lasting impact on the landscape and the aura that all together have conserved the natural and human resources that make Oregon a special state in our nation. We hope the legislation will pass the House as it has the Senate. Thank you very much. I'd be willing to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Snyder, for your testimony. And I am just in awe of what was accomplished back in those days and more recently by the Civilian Conservation Corps. I can tell you that every time I go to Washington, D.C., about the first place I go is the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it is a national park, too. And it just never ceases to amaze me, the remarkable things that were accomplished during those years. So I want to thank you very much for your work and for bringing this to us.
All right. Thank you. Thank the committee for hearing me.
And if you could hang with us just for a moment, I think we might have some additional questions. Yes, Representative Berger.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Snyder, your testimony today is incredibly historic. You appreciate in your organization that the sort of collective memory of what those camps were like and the young men that were there, what brought you there, what it was like there, is rapidly disappearing, and I hope your organization, along with plaques, is making an effort to get your stories on tape and your personal stories, because I think all of us know the monuments to what you accomplished. Every time you go up the mountain, you see timberline and all those lovely things, and we deeply appreciate them. But I don't think without you and your personal stories, we appreciate how deeply what it meant for you as a boy and what it was like for you as a boy to go up and under Army supervision be building and sending money home to your family. So I do hope and would encourage you and your peers to get your personal stories down, because I think that for generations it's more than just commemorating a date and the CCC. It's what you accomplished on a personal level that I think is the most compelling thing here.
I had Oregon Public Broadcasting send a TV crew to my home, and I told my story for an hour and a half for a documentary, which they will be presenting sometime in the summer or fall. We have had visits with the Oregon Historical Society and with the Friends of Timberline. Our organization has attempted during the 75th year anniversary of the CCC being established. We have attempted to make the record available and permanent, like those signs at the and the one at Silver Falls Park is beautifully situated at the site where the CCC camp was that built the original Silver Falls Park. And I do appreciate your comments, because we want them perpetual. We're passing our legacy down to the National Youth Corps, wherever they exist, and Oregon has several units that assist us in erecting those signs at the parks and at the National Forest sites. Thank you so much.
And thank you for your service.
Madam Chair, can I ask just...
Yes, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Senator. Just very briefly, thank you so much for your testimony. It was outstanding. Just, did you stay for the full 2 years in the Corps?
I stayed for the full 2 years, and then because I had attained specialist status, I was promoted a couple of times to the work as the first aid attendant in the infirmary, and that gave me a $6 raise, which I got in cash. Then the position with the project superintendent, the Forest Service representative who organized all the work projects, his clerk got a job, and he asked me to come because in high school I had trained as a stenographer and a typist, and he loved being able to dictate all of his letters early in the morning and then get out in the forest where he really wanted to be instead of handwriting those and having a typist type them. So I became a specialist, and I stayed for 4 years. Wow. In the CCCs, and this gave me a leg up when I was drafted into World War II. My experience in the CCC camp got me one of the best jobs in the United States Army, where I served for 4 years also.
Wow. Thank you so much. I'd love to hear your story.
Great. Well, thank you, Mr. Snyder, very much for being here and for sharing your story and this whole remarkable period of history. Thanks again. And members, we are in a work session, and Representative Buckley, did you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Joint Resolution 42 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Buckley has moved Senate Joint Resolution 42 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, it is so ordered, and the chair would be honored to carry this on the floor. And members, don't think we have, and I'll close the public hearing and work session on SJR 42. I think we've completed our agenda. Members, we will be meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning, and that is bright and early, so we'll be ready to go to work. And with nothing further to come before us, have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday. We are adjourned.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.